Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I did get into the Astros the first few games, and then I kind of got bored with them, especially when Verlander died.
Did it almost feel like the Astros suddenly, they're no longer World Series contenders?
That's how I felt about it, yeah. Plus, now you've got all these other guys, Presley's not hurt, and yeah. And you start looking at the pitching depth, and you know I know that Patrick Creighton would disagree with me on this, but I just don't think they have the pitching depth. And it doesn't help that their big three went over 28 or whatever against the Dodgers. I just feel like it's going to come down to the Lakers or the Clippers, and there's no value there.
I feel like Lakers, Clippers, Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks would be the other
well.
One.
It just seems like anybody besides those three teams winning would be a shock. And I don't know. I don't know what the odds are on those teams, but I would guess they're all
three favorites. Yeah.
3-1, 2-1, whatever. There's no other team that I'm like, I could throw a couple bucks down on them. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I could see the Celtics or maybe even the Raptors getting there, but I can't see them winning.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And we continue the show on the breaks, so you can hear the things we're talking about. Mainly me talking about how I feel very rusty today at trying to get the show moving smoothly. Coming back on a Thursday is a little weird. I probably should have just taken these 2 days off and made it a full week. But then I would have sucked on Monday.
Yeah, so, I thought about
just
that
too. Too much sports going on. I kind of feel like, at least here, I do think before football, I need to take a few more days. And because I there's going to be a stretch after that where I'm not going anywhere for a while. But, I mean, this was nice. Just feel a little bit off today. That's all.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll muddle through because we only have an hour left and we got a little basketball on, finally.
This time it counts.
Well, it counts for something.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, it's the 8-game end of the regular season. Which,
I mean, we've all waited with bated breath for this Jazz-Pelicans matchup.
Hey. Aren't you going to buy into the Zion hype?
No.
So, I have a bunch of stuff that I wanted to get to, and I don't think we've gotten to any of it. And you know what I did? I thought this would be a good thing. When we were talking before, how I kept adding stuff to my little show list to the point where it was just too much. I started completely from scratch today. Got rid of everything. Figure if we hadn't gotten to it by now, there's no point in getting to it. And we haven't gotten to any of this. Here's one of the things that you need people to stop doing. Did you see this story about the police had to break up a 700-person mansion party in New Jersey?
I did see that.
What are you guys doing, man? I mean, it sounds cool. Just
not wise, guys.
Not in the Ronaverse.
No.
But three people have been charged, and they had it on a flyer as a way to celebrate Liberian Independence Day the right way. Mm. Apparently included free food, alcohol, DJs, and a $1,000 twerking contest.
Who won?
It doesn't say. Oh. But neighbors say they were jumping on neighbors' cars and drinking.
How many of them have Rona now?
Well, we won't know. This will be one of those that comes up in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But 700 people.
This is why
somebody,
we can't have.
Somebody got Rona from that.
Yeah. In the words of the great American poet Taylor Swift, this is why we can't have nice things. Because you break them, I have to take them away. This is why we can't have nice things. That's a poem.
Is it?
It's an old one. An oldie but a goodie.
According to USA Today, COVID is killing a Texan every 6 minutes and 16 seconds.
That's not good.
No.
What time is it?
6:06.
Tell me when 6:13. Just to give me a heads up. I just want to make sure I've made it. I don't know, man. I get it's easy if you haven't had COVID yet to think it's not a big deal. But I was also reading about that guy in Dallas who was like, he had a party and he was calling it the scamdemic. And now he's like, yeah, my whole family got it and I really regret not taking it seriously. I mean, it's super easy to go, it's no big deal until it happens to you.
Or to someone close to you.
Right.
That's the thing.
Until it affects your life.
Right.
And that's why I said a month ago, I feel like Greg Abbott, something had to have happened. Something had to have come into his personal life that made him change his tune.
Yeah, that was actually, I was the first to speculate on that. But
is that true?
Yeah, it is true.
That's absolutely not true.
Yes, it is. That was totally my take.
Aaron, was that my take or Fred's take?
Actually, I think all three of us were in agreement with it.
Well, I know you guys agreed with me on it.
I think I came up with that.
I'm
an originator on that.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
The listeners will know.
Okay. Know. I'm pretty sure that was my original take.
No, you might have thought of it, but you didn't say it first.
I think I did.
I don't think you did.
Okay.
You agreed wholeheartedly. Because we actually had, a whole segment on it. And, yep, now the texters are trying to claim it. No, it was my take. No, but I think that's because he turned fast. And
yeah,
it started making decisions based on what was, you know, the right thing as opposed to, like, even a week before had been talking about, I'm never going to mandate masks. And I really think we need to start wearing masks now. And really went away from the party line, which I'm glad he did. I'm glad he quit politicizing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe he didn't do it fast enough for some people. But, and of course, the textures are split right down the middle. You guys can't be trusted.
Well.
But, you know, but no, I'm almost certain I brought that up first. So.
AJ quoting Taylor Swift made me feel like less of a dad.
Really?
I mean, guys know poetry. Sorry.
You did, Eugene on the Twitch said, AJ, you did say you mocked the Rona, it'll come back and get you. That was your take.
Yeah, I've been saying that.
That one definitely was.
I've been saying that since Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, he started it.
The Greg Abbott one was much more recent. It was, I forget what it was, but it was
It was right when it happened, right? When he suddenly started talking about mask orders and everything else. So, I mean, if we really want to find out, I'm sure we could dig it up. But, you know.
And Sergeant in Baytown says, AJ, sorry, have you seen any numbers on veterans catching the Rona? I'm a Marine vet here, and we got pumped with vaccinations. I've been around family with the Rona and haven't caught bleep. I mean, it's entirely possible we've been pumped with a bunch of stuff. I don't know. I don't know of any of, like, none of the guys I served with, at least that I that have told me they caught it. One of their wives did. I don't know. And Lamont says AK-47 guy was an Air Force vet, and that's about all the good I can say about this moron. He was out at a protest at night with a chopper and quadriplegic fiance and pointing a gun at a car in Texas. Dude definitely had a death wish. Yeah, it's not. He wasn't smart. We know that. Not a bright move.
Somebody asks, have you discussed the quack doctor from Houston that Trump is supporting? I must have missed that one.
Is this the doctor who like believes in giant lizards and things like that?
Yep.
Oh, is this a demon doctor?
Yeah.
A demon sex doctor?
No, I'm not taking her all that seriously. If it's between her and Dr. Fauci, who can't, I mean,
I bet she throws a better pitch than he does.
She might. But no, that's a big negative.
It's a hard no.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
I've been rewatching some Letterkenny's, so Letterkenny has twice dropped into my conversation today. But 713-780-ESPN is your number. Oh, here's another guy that I think we can say the karma, the corona karma got. Remember the Belarus president who said there is no COVID-19
in
Belarus.
They don't have it there.
And vodka will cure it, that guy, which I was hoping he was right about that. Well,
guess didn't work out.
He kept all the soccer going. He kept the hockey going. And
he's the guy who kind of looks like Dr. Phil, right?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Like a standalone mustache guy?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Alexander Lukashenko.
Okay.
And guess what?
He caught the Rona.
He's got the bug.
Yeah. Well.
So he bragged that no one would die from the coronavirus in Belarus. So far, there have been 538 deaths, which is still not a lot.
Did he, is he recovered?
He said, today you are meeting a man who managed to survive the coronavirus on his feet. Doctors came to such a conclusion yesterday, asymptomatic.
All right.
He told citizens in April they should not even worry. No one will die from coronavirus in our country. I'm saying this in public. This is my firm conviction, judging by analysis, not only of previous years. We already have this year's experience, and from our experience, the Chinese, American, European experience, we see how we should work.
How old is that guy, you think?
65.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. All right.
This is the poem I was telling you about.
I see. Yeah. Quick break. How does IC work my Siri?
I don't know. It doesn't like you saying that, IC. Because you didn't see, you heard.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Did you see this story did you see Trump's tweet about pushing the election back?
Yeah. I don't think he has the... I don't think he has the clout to do that.
No, he can't. It has to come through Congress.
But I'm sure he does like the idea of that.
I don't know why. He is...
He's trailing in polls.
He's trailing polls, but he trailed in polls the whole time last time.
Well, but...
And you know why? Because the people that get polled, there's a bunch of them that don't want to admit that they're going to vote for Trump.
Maybe.
And they'll just say undecided or, you know, because even if the polls are... That's why the polls were so wrong last time. I think the guy's going to win, and he's preparing. I mean, he's already talking about it's going to be the most corrupt election. Well, what if you win? Is it still corrupt?
I don't know. If all the people mail in their votes, then of course it's corrupt. I got a text today.
Oh, yeah?
Hi, Arthur. I'm Brenda with Beto's new group, Powered by People. As a Texas voter, who will you be supporting for president?
That was the one I got two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, Joe Jorgensen. And I thought it would just be like, okay, have a nice day. Wow, are you a true libertarian? I don't meet many. I've been doing voter ID for several weeks, about 5,000 voters per day. I have a few people who are doing a protest vote for Jorgensen, but only a couple of true libertarians. And I just wrote back, I'm a libertarian. She said, okay, we'll mark that down now. Have a great day and good luck with your candidate. Thank you. It's very sweet of you.
Good luck with Beto.
Yeah, I think my candidate has a better chance than Beto, honestly. Yeah,
I think he's going to get more votes. And John on the Twitch says, no, Fred, that isn't why he's trailing. But you know what? I guarantee you guys that you're going to be surprised. I see stuff all over the place that shows me this guy has a lot of support. And in a lot of little places. And I know that, you know, Nobody wants to believe that, but it's not like the other guy's anything inspiring. You know, you're basically trotting out the guy from Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Good luck. And I honestly don't feel very good about either one of them. I've said all along I want to see who's the vice presidential pick for Biden before I decide on anything. Because if he gets somebody good and young and dynamic, because I don't want to sound morbid, but I think that person would wind up being president sometime in the next 4 years. If it's somebody like that, then I'll be cool with it. So, you know. And he says, you're acting like it's 2016 all over again. It's massively different. The guy isn't as reviled as Hillary was. I'm telling you, I think you guys are taking him way too lightly. Way too lightly. And, you know, because there are certain people that it doesn't matter that our economy has gone to hell. It doesn't matter anything he does. They support
him. Right.
And there's a lot more of those people out there than you think. And you know, I think you guys are underestimating the dude.
But I would also say in 4 years, and I think we can all agree that the Rona, and let's just face it, 4 years of time has probably not helped his voter base, because we agree in this country now, the majority of Republican votes come from an older group and the majority of blue votes come from a younger group. We agree on that?
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
So, in the last 4 years, in the last 4 months, a bunch of old people have died. That's not good news for Trump. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's I don't know what it's going to be like compared to last election, but I do think that most people find Joe Biden more electable than Hillary Clinton. Remember, Hillary Clinton won the freaking popular vote 4 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, that's not how you decide the winner.
Right, but that's what I mean, do you think that the people who... That, no one's yelling Benghazi and emails. Like, I'm not hearing that. But I don't know. I wonder if there are people who... And I've said this before. I think Trump empowered a bunch of people to say things that they feel but have been too scared to say out loud. And now they feel like, oh, man, this is our guy. So maybe more Trump voters show up. I don't know.
Well, I would just put it this way. I don't think that people who supported Donald Trump in 2016 have run from him. Because
not a lot.
No matter what he does, that base believes in him.
Yeah.
And they don't go anywhere. And I really think that, you know, I just think people who are, you know, you can look at these polls all you want, but, you know, I'll tell you where I'm going to put my money. I'll put my money on the same guy I did last time at plus 265 early election night. But doesn't mean I'm voting for him.
Right.
So, and yeah, I'm not blaming him for the Rona mess. It doesn't matter who was in office. This was going to be a disaster. There could things have been done differently, sure, but you know, when you're looking at 50 different states with 50 different rules, it's not the easiest thing. Do I wish he had been more, you know, I wish he'd handled it better, but I don't know that we were ever going to avoid this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Lamont says a bunch of old people died in New York, which, yeah. But, I mean, New York, those old people were voting blue anyway. What were the swing states last time around? It was like Ohio, Colorado, Wisconsin, and the Carolinas? Was that the...
So Pennsylvania was one of them, I think.
Pennsylvania? Are they having a bunch of deaths? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Florida's always a swing state.
Florida is, and they've got plenty of deaths.
Yeah, well, but it's young people going to beaches.
That's right. That's all. That's the only people dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wisconsin has, they've got less than 1,000 deaths. Good for you, Wisconsin.
Okay, so they're going Trump. Check.
Michigan has 6,427 deaths. Ohio, 3,442. Virginia 21-41, North Carolina 19-21, Pennsylvania 7,248, and then Florida 6,585. Those are the swing states in the last election. I think New York, California, and Texas, you probably already know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Although, there's a lot of people who keep thinking this state's going to swing.
I don't think it's going to happen. It ain't happening in 2020.
No, I
it might happen someday, but it ain't happening this day.
No, and, I think they thought, well, Beto almost beat Ted Cruz. Well, he didn't, though. That might have signaled a change, but... Yeah, I still think that this is a very Republican state, and I don't see any way Trump loses it. So, but I could be wrong, and that has happened. But it was in 2016 when Hillary was still in the lead going in, and even on I was able to get +265 on Trump at 5 o'clock the day of the election, and. There were a couple things that started coming in and some of the exit polls, and you're like, well, people didn't want to admit that they voted for him, which that's another issue. If you don't really want to admit that you're a big fan of the guy, but you still vote for him, okay, then maybe you should look at yourself. Although I kind of feel that way with almost every politician. I don't feel good about anybody I vote for.
Yeah.
So let's let Sam on real quick. What's up, Sam?
Sammy.
Hey, guys.
Hey, sports.
I got to go make a delivery because I'm a Domino's delivery driver, so I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, man.
Okay.
That happens.
Yeah. Do your job. Job comes first.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. That's all it's really about. No one has an explanation, an expiration. I got to figure it out. They're asking me if I can't see the darkness down below.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Robert says the reason people don't want to admit they voted for Trump is because some people automatically consider you a bad person, so some of us just keep it to ourselves. And that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
Because not everybody who supports Trump waves a Confederate flag around. Let's be real, guys. You can't honestly believe Trump is going to win, right? It was rigged last time, and that's the only way he wins this time. Wasn't rigged. Wasn't rigged. You lost fair and square. Get used to it. Oh, but the popular vote. Well, go change the rules. And I, what I would do if I were in charge of this country is we would overhaul everything. How we do elections, how, there would not be two parties anymore. We'd open it up to as many parties as people could come up with, and there would be no money put into elections. You have to put it either, you can't go and collect a bunch of money to get reelected. Everybody spends the same amount of money, and that's it. Boom. Done. And we tear up the Constitution and start from scratch. Nobody wants to hear that either, but that thing's 240-something years old. And I think it's just time to redo everything.
Yeah.
And just start from scratch. It's not really starting from scratch, but I realize that's a controversial take. Tear up the Constitution. That was written by God himself.
I don't think it was, though.
There's people that treat it like that. So, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-281 says, Trump voters are like texters. You don't know who they are.
That's true.
That's... I think that's right. And I don't know. It just... I think people thinking he's going to lose based on what the polls are, including him.
I'll just say, I don't really know. I do feel like this is it's a toss-up, but I thought, you know, I didn't think it was a toss-up 4 years ago. I didn't think that Trump really had much of a shot, and he won. So crazier things will – if he wins this year, crazier things have happened.
337 with the text of the day. But the Electoral College doesn't even play in the SEC, so who cares what they think?
They're short games anyway.
Well played, sir. You win today. Congratulations. I mean, you get absolutely nothing. But, yeah. So, SportsNot did the worst starting quarterbacks of all time for each NFL team.
Okay.
You want to play the guessing game with some of these?
Yeah.
You up for that?
Yeah, I'm up for a good guessing game.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Now, I mean, are these like one? They could have had one start?
No, no. These are guys who actually started for at least like 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Jacksonville's got to be Blaine Gabbert.
It is, right? Blaine Gabbert.
Okay.
Who is your Bills guy you mention often?
In my lifetime, it's J.P. Lossman.
It is J.P. Lossman.
Okay.
The Rams guy I've never even heard of, Steve Dills.
Never heard of him either.
1984 to 87. Tennessee Titans.
Short history, my guess is Jake Locker.
Jake Locker is correct. You're good at this.
Poor
game.
Jake Locker, right?
Yeah. I don't know about this Tampa Bay pick because they had some pretty bad quarterbacks. But they have Steve DeBerg is the worst from 84 to 87.
That's tough. He did throw a lot of picks. I don't know if he won very many games. He was on a really bad team, but I don't know how if he was the reason why.
I think you'll guess the Bengals.
Achilles Smith.
I can't believe he was there for 3 years.
They gave him a good run, yeah. Man. That was like a top three pick.
I think this one's unfair because there's 100 guys to choose from on the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, who could it be? Recent?
Yep.
John?
They have Sir John Football.
Oh, John.
That's kind of harsh, I think.
He only started like 7 or 8 games.
Yeah. How about the Arizona Cardinals?
Probably another guy who didn't start very many games but was there for a pretty good while was Matt Leinart.
You are really good at this game. I don't have to tell you the L.A. Chargers.
Ryan Leaf, yeah. One of the greats of all time.
Detroit Lions.
My instant thought is Joey Harrington, but they've got a long history of failure at quarterback.
Just take your first thought. You're good.
Is he the one?
Yep.
Ooh, that's a tough one. There's a lot of that's kind of like the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there. I think there's a lot of right answers there. Kansas City Chiefs. And boy, when you hear this one, you're like, this was fairly recent.
Like fairly recent, not in this decade.
How about the very end? Well, yeah, it wouldn't be in this decade because 2010 was his last
Brody year. Croyle?
Brody Croyle.
Oh, he was bad. And they stuck with him for a pretty good while.
Yeah.
And he was a backup for most of the time. If I'm not mistaken, he's got double-digit starts and 0 career wins.
Yep. Career 56.7% passer.
No wins to his credit,
8 touchdowns,
right?
9 interceptions. Yeah, he won none of his 10 starts.
I do remember everybody else on the team was broken. He was a career backup, and really, I don't want to say he sucked because I mean, he probably would have at the time when they went to him. I was like, oh well, they could have a worse backup, but then it turns out no, he was not good either.
New York Jets, another one where
Mark Sanchez went to the playoffs too many times. Geno Smith.
Ding, ding, ding.
Some of these, this is a very short term.
Yeah, but I mean, 3 years there.
Yeah.
2013 to 16. You'd never guess the Atlanta Falcons. It's from 1966. Randy Johnson.
I would not.
Washington Redskins.
Haskins.
That doesn't count yet.
Doesn't count? What? I don't know. Who?
Gus Frerotte.
I don't think that's fair. Gus Frerotte, he wasn't good.
He was okay.
I don't think he was. All right. I feel like Gus Frerotte was like a former Pro Bowl guy at some point, which doesn't say much, but.
Yep. Your Houston Texans.
I mean, if you're going on guys who actually had careers, you have to go with David Carr, right?
Yeah, that's who they go with. I think they've had worse guys play the position, certainly.
I mean,
Tony Banks.
Right, but we're looking at guys who had like multiple starts.
But you know what? And overall, 22-53 record, which okay, those teams blew. 60% of his passes, 59 touchdowns, 65 interceptions. He wasn't nearly as upside down as you would think.
Yeah, I guess
he wasn't good, but you know.
Would you? Who had? I mean, did how many starts did Tom Savage have? I mean, was he double digits? If so, then he's worse.
Yeah. Well, we also got Hoyer and Mallett and those guys in there.
I mean, Mallett.
How much do we count those?
I was going to say Mallett and Osweiler. Well, Osweiler had almost a full season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think I do too. Indianapolis Colts. This is a tough one because they had a stretch there of, you know, Peyton Manning for 37 years.
Yeah, and then they went straight into Andrew Luck. The worst ever. Why is my audio back on now?
I don't know. Just checking mine to make sure that wasn't me. It's not.
Did they do Jeff George?
They did.
Or Chris Chandler?
Curtis Painter.
Ooh, yeah, Curtis Painter's bad. But yeah, he didn't have very many starts either. He was like an injury guy.
Yeah, he went 0-8 as a starter when Manning got hurt.
That's not good.
Kerry Collins was Manning's backup. He got hurt. And
then Dan Orlovsky got hurt too, right?
I think that was later. Painter was 2009, 2011. Minnesota Vikings.
I don't know. No name jumps out at me immediately.
Sam Ponder's husband.
Oh, curse. Yeah. I should have thought of him immediately. I don't know why he didn't pop right into my head.
Here's another one, which I don't know how much I agree with. Miami Dolphins.
Boy, they've had a lot recently. And honestly, they probably didn't put him because he went on to have some success somewhere else. But I would probably say Ryan Tannehill.
Chad Henne.
Oh, yeah. Chad Henne was worse than Ryan Tannehill.
You're falling off. You'll nail the Ravens.
Kyle Bowler,
yes.
Awful.
Carolina Panthers.
Do they give Jim Clausen enough
starts? Jimmy Clausen is your winner.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll get the Eagles because it's from the late 90s. Before Donovan McNabb.
Pre-Donovan McNabb. Yeah. Is that pre-Michael Vick, too?
Yeah.
Is it Bobby Hoying?
You nailed it, Bobby Hoying. Well done.
He was bad, yeah. All right.
Oakland Raiders, I don't think we even need to.
Jamarcus Russell.
The New York Giants. This guy went 7-2-1 in his first year as a starter.
Okay.
3-7 the next season and was cut ahead of the 99 season.
So another late 90s guy.
Yeah. Danny Cannell. I don't know if you
No, I wouldn't have got it.
Chicago Bears, I bet you get this one.
I don't know. They've had a lot of bad ones.
They have.
Really, everybody except McMahon and Cutler is basically in the same giant track. It could be Trubisky, honestly.
Well, it may be, but I don't know. This guy didn't last as long as Trubisky has. He was a superstar college player.
And Cade McNown?
Cade McNown, yes. Seattle Seahawks, I bet you get this one.
Big draft bust?
Yes.
Rick Meyer?
Rick Meyer it is. I never liked him either. I don't know why he went that high. New Orleans Saints, they have Ken Stabler.
That's before my football watching days.
He was 11-11 as a starter for the Saints, but his play was even worse than the record. 17 touchdowns and 33 interceptions in the final 22 games of his career. San Francisco 49ers.
Tim Rattay.
That's a good guess. Ken Dorsey.
Oh, I like Dorsey better.
I think Tim Rattay, you know, easily could have been on here. Denver Broncos is from the 70s. Steve Ramsey. Haven't heard of him.
No.
Packers. This is from the 80s.
I don't know that I can think of a Packers team before pre-Brett Favre. Yeah.
Randy Wright. So you probably wouldn't have got that.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
You might get this one. Pittsburgh Steelers.
In my lifetime?
Yes. 86 to 92.
Bubby Brister.
Bubby Brister it is.
Yeah.
Patriots was someone from 89 named Mark Wilson, who I don't really remember.
I don't remember him either.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh. That's a team that's got a long history, but they've almost always had a respectable quarterback. Quincy Carter?
Quincy Carter it is. Good job.
Is that the end of the...
all of them? That's all of them.
Look at that. That's a fun game.
Yeah.
That's way more fun than the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, who cares about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's because we're such negative people, AJ. And that's why no one listens to us, is because we're negative. But one positive is we do like to give you winners. And you know where you can bet them? MyBookie.ag. NBA's underway. Games are going right now. You want to jump in? You can do that. Baseball's been going now for a week. You can jump in and bet baseball. Hockey is coming, starting the first. So you can get in there and play that as well. And you can still got time to get in on some future bets on the hockey. And by the way, soccer's still out there. And you can get in on that. Tennis, golf, all of it is available at mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Just want to enter promo code radio when you sign up. That's promo code radio. And I go on there for all my sports betting. And I will be hammering some hockey this weekend, and it will all be on mybookie.ag. And the best thing is, when you win, you get paid. A lot of these sites, putting your money in is part of the gamble. That's not the case with mybookie.ag. You win, you will get paid. Mybookie.ag, you bet, you win, they pay.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Elate Health. And if you or someone you know has BPH or an enlarged prostate, they may have to urinate more often. They may have to pee at night. They may have difficulty starting to pee. If that's you or someone you know, you may have talked to a surgeon about it, and they may have told you that they've got to put a drill in your penis, and no one wants that to happen to them ever. That's why you should call Dr. Andrew Doe at Elate Health, because Dr. Doe is the first doctor in Houston to do a procedure called PAE, which is an advanced, minimally invasive procedure that uses X-ray technology to treat your prostate. No drill in the pee hole needed. How great is that? It's an outpatient procedure. You're in and out in a few hours, done right there in the office. It's covered by most insurance plans, and nobody in Houston has done as many of these procedures as Dr. Doe. He's the guy you want. I met him. He's a good guy. If I had this issue, this is where I'd go. Learn more about it today. Call 832-860-4618. That's 832-860-4618. And check them out. ChoosePAE.com.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason. Can't find hope to believe in.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One final segment to go before we turn it over to Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock. Make sure you turn your volume down just a little bit when those guys come on.
I have got horrible news.
Uh-oh.
I just got this story. People over 6 feet tall are more than twice as likely to be diagnosed with coronavirus. This is from experts from the University of Manchester. Surveyed 2,000 people in their country as well as the U.S. to determine whether their personal attributes, work, and living practices might play a role in transmission. And the results found that taller people are at a higher risk, which researchers say is that contagion is spreading through the air, because height would not be a factor if the virus was only contractible through droplets. Though social distancing is still important because transmission by droplets is still likely to occur, It does suggest that mask wearing may be just as, if more, effective in prevention, but also air purification and interior spaces should be further explored. I don't like it. How tall are you, Aaron?
Like 6 foot and a half, 6'1".
Ooh, she's stuck at 5'11 and
a
half.
Yep. In fact, I'm going to slump down to 5'10 until this is over with. So do you have a Hoffman on Hollywood?
Oh, yeah. I got to, I didn't.
Sorry, the last segment.
I didn't realize we got there, but I'll get this pulled up. One of the stories is about Ellen DeGeneres, who you've said multiple times, you've read a bunch of stuff about how she's just not a very good person.
Yeah, she's a nightmare to work with, a bunch of stuff like that.
Well, here's a story that says an investigation into her. It's under internal investigation by Warner Media after a number of toxic work environment allegations have gone public. One current and 10 former staff members claim to be victims of bullying and racism. And they're saying it could be the end of her career. So it almost seemed like I heard you say it, and it seemed like she kind of skated on it.
Yeah.
But now they're saying that she's at a dangerous period in her career, at a critical time in the American experience. Any findings that reveal a toxic workplace would be an apocalyptic ending to her TV career. So I guess they're doing some research. She may be screwed if any of that stuff is true.
Oh, I think she'll land on her feet, though. She's got enough money to last her the next century.
Well, that's true. But and it also mentions that it could be, she could be perpetuating one of the biggest frauds in the history of time, because she comes across as like the perfect, you know, ideal, friendly person, and it turns out.
Well, how many of these guys do you think that? I mean, would you have thought Bill Cosby was the monster he is, or Matt Lauer? Matt Lauer came off as this little nice, smarmy guy.
That's true. Matt Lauer was kind of a surprise.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be surprised, because I'm telling you, after watching that damn show on Apple, nobody would surprise me if they were a complete turd behind the scenes.
Well, speaking of complete turds, Harvey Weinstein may be in trouble because...
Again?
Well, yeah, because Ashley Judd, her sexual harassment claim had been basically thrown out. And now the Ninth Circuit ruled that basically there was an inherent power imbalance, and he's going to now face this claim from Ashley Judd, even though she was never employed by him. Judge alleges in her complaint that she became his victim when the movie mogul made demands on her in a hotel room about 20 years ago. Judd said she only escaped after relenting to a deal where she would let him touch her if she won an Academy Award. Later, Judd said she was in a serious discussion for a big role in Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings, but that opportunity was torpedoed after Weinstein or someone at Miramax told the director that she was a nightmare to work with. So, this is more bad news for him, as if he needed any more. But in sum, they decided that what he did was wrong, and even though he never employed her, he championed her work and approved her casting for two of his movies until this stopped, or until she basically said no, and then it went downhill. So, not good news for Harvey. As if he's ever... Like, yeah, when's the last time we said, oh, good news for Harvey Weinstein?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have some. Have you watched the expanded version of Hateful Eight that they have now on Netflix?
I've not.
It's five different episodes. There's a bunch of extra footage in it.
Okay.
And it was really awkward to see Harvey Weinstein's name on that film when it started.
Yeah.
So, that's a positive for him. He's still on a pretty good film.
Oh, well, that's good. I found a list, Fred... And I think we've done a similar list. I want to see how off you think this is. I found a list of the 50 most iconic heist movies.
Ooh.
I knew you'd be interested. That's why I saved a good chunk of time for this.
Yeah, this is up my alley.
Number one all time. This came out the year you were born, 1950. The Asphalt Jungle.
Stop. I don't even know if I've seen that.
Okay. It stars Sterling Hayden. I've never watched it either, but it says it's the greatest heist movie ever. Number two, Inside Man.
Okay.
Spike Lee directed.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, I think that's a little too high.
Number three, Ocean's 11.
The original?
2001.
Okay. That one was pretty good. I I like that one.
Number four, Jackie Brown.
It's pretty good.
Number five, and I guess I didn't think of it as a heist movie.
No, but it really is. Yeah.
Number five, Band of Outsiders, 1964.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that. That was the year I was born, by the way.
Number six, The Town, the Ben Affleck movie.
And I wasn't too Boston for me.
Number seven, which I haven't seen this, although it's apparently fairly recent. It's called Widows. The widows of four bank robbers.
Oh, I did see that.
Who were killed during a botched heist.
Yeah, not bad.
Number eight, The Red Circle from 1970. Number nine, The Thomas Crown Affair, the Steve McQueen version.
Yeah, that is pretty
and
good.
And number 10, Rafifi from 1956.
Rafiki? Wasn't he in?
I don't know.
Okay.
Reservoir Dogs made it in at 14.
Now, see, that one should be way higher.
Hell or High Water, 15.
Also should be higher.
James Caan's Thief, 1981, was 17. Ryan Gosling, 18, with Drive.
Drive should have been higher, too.
Yeah. I'm trying to find if there's any more that we'd be really remiss if we didn't mention. But
yeah, Reservoir Dogs is number one for me.
Point Break, 25. Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves.
Actually, the original.
Baby Driver, 27.
That's too low. That's a pretty damn good heist movie.
Ronin, 29.
Mm.
Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, 30. Mm. Italian Job, 31.
That one wasn't bad either.
So, Ant-Man, 34.
If that's a heist movie, that should be number two behind Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. I didn't think of it as a heist movie, but if it is, that thing is top five. All right. Well, that's going to do it. We will be back tomorrow to try it again. Till then, stay Rona free, bitches.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.